This is NPR News.
19 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Senator, in case you weren't able to hear that last story there, we were just talking about the military veteran dogs and the law that's allowing them to be brought back to the states after their service. So that's why the dog music was going on there.
I was just wondering if you changed your format.
Not yet. No, it did sound like it there for a minute. I didn't know if you got a chance to see. I know that a lot of the House members were able to see some of these military dogs that came to the Hill yesterday. I didn't know if you had a chance to see any of those or not.
I didn't, but certainly that's it's great. You know that it's being dealt with, and you know they. They work hard and need to be taken care of for sure.
Sure. Lots of situations around the world and here in our nation to talk about. First of all, a very tense and tragic situation, of course, in Israel and Gaza. The U.S., of course, has a long tradition of supporting Israel, but some are starting to question our continued support as people see these horrific pictures of children and women and innocent civilians who are being killed and wounded in the Israeli attacks in Gaza.
Well, it's a sad situation, and you've had, literally over 1,000 missiles fired into Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel's done a good job of defending themselves, or they would be in the same situation through Iron Dome, which the United States, was very, very helpful with. So I feel like they've got every right in the world. You can imagine the outrage that we would have if somebody fired a missile into our country, much less, over 1,000. So I think they've got the right to do what they need to do. The sad thing is they're dealing with people that will use human shields, will hide things in schools and hospitals, those kind of things. The tunnel system there is much more extensive than anybody thought, and they're working hard to disrupt that. So in the interest of their security, they simply have to do these things. I very much support that.
Is there... There was talk on Morning Edition this morning about how to come to a resolution of this conflict and maybe initiate a ceasefire. What is being discussed as ways to calm this situation down?
Well, I think the whole world, the Europeans, the United States are involved in really just trying to, as you say, calm the situation down. But it is difficult. Israel feels like they need to be in there eliminating these tunnels, which are very, very extensive. And so as a result, it's really a tragic situation. But Israel, needs to do what it needs to do to keep itself safe. And we need to support them in that effort.
Another place, of course, of increased tension is in the Ukraine, where this Malaysian airliner was apparently shot down. It's a horrible story in so many ways. Of course, the loss of life, and then there was the failure to secure the crash site for several days. Finger pointing now, and the preposterous conspiracy theories being heard on some Russian state media. Calls for investigations, of course, and even if someone or some group or nation is found at fault, what happens then?
Well, I agree with the president in the sense that he's called for an immediate ceasefire there, and you still have things going on. I was watching the news this morning, and they mentioned that there are still bodies lying about at the crash site. So that truly is a tragic situation. The Russians are not being helpful at all. They're thumbing their nose, and so I really feel like we need to get tough, and you do that through increased economic sanctions. We're looking at that. Step that up. And then also the Europeans need to do the same thing to get the Russians' attention so that they understand that they simply can't bully that part of the world around the way that they're doing.
Another crisis taking place closer to home. It's been called the border crisis or the children's immigration crisis, this huge influx of children, minors from Central American countries who have entered the country illegally and often just turned themselves into border agents as soon as they cross the border. This has been building up for a few years now, I understand it, but it's really gotten out of hand and presents a real dilemma because on one hand they're illegal immigrants, but on the other hand they're kids.
Yes, and we're finding out that many of them aren't, kids, that there's a lot of, a very large percentage of people that aren't just young minors. But the situation, to a large extent, is precipitated by the fact that we're not enforcing our laws. And they know that if they come to the United States now, they're not going to be sent back or haven't been sent back in the past. And so as a result, they live in very difficult situations. And the United States is the land of milk and honey. On the other hand, this is something that I've heard a lot from the people of Arkansas, and they're very, very concerned about the lawlessness. We are a country of laws. We need to enforce our laws. We can be very proud. We naturalize about 1 million people a year. That's how you do it, is do it in an orderly way. The idea of just kind of showing up and shoving your way in is pretty distasteful to the average American.
There is concern by some people, though, that about the situation that these young people may be escaping, and do we really want to send them back into something that they perhaps were running from?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that, and on the other hand, much of the world is in the same condition that they're in, so where do you draw the line? But that's a discussion that needs to be made, and it needs to be done in an orderly way versus, just charging in. The same could be true for the adults that live there. The poverty is extreme, and certainly we have a lot more opportunity. But you can't do it in that manner. And so I'm very much for securing the border. I'm for holding employers accountable that hire people that they shouldn't be hiring. And the only way to stop the flow right now is to, in a very short period of time, send people back so that they'll understand if they come and try and do it this way, try and do it in a non-lawful way, that they're not going to be allowed to stay and will be sent back, and then they'll quit coming.
Well, we've got some serious budget and business matters to deal with here in the U.S. as well, like the Highway Trust Fund, for instance, the money that the federal highway and bridge projects scheduled to run out next month, I believe. Arkansas is one of the states that's already, I understand, seen some delays in projects blamed on this money about to run out. What's the deal with this?
Well, what's happened is the Highway Trust Fund, when you buy a gallon of gasoline, about a little over 18 cents goes into a trust fund, and then that's used by the federal government, and then most of it is actually given back to the states as a source of funding. I think you could argue that the reason that we are the great economic power that we are, one of the major reasons, is our infrastructure, our interstate system, our ability to move commerce around. Most countries don't have this. And so, as a result, it's really helped us tremendously with jobs and being the powerhouse we are. Right now, though, because of the fact that cars get better gas mileage than they used to, the economy is not great, and so people aren't driving as much. High price of fuel, again, they're not driving as much, so they're not buying as much gasoline. And as a result, the trust fund is very, very low, about to go broke. And so Congress is going to have to step in and figure out a way to replenish that. If not, then we're seeing in the state of Arkansas, as you mentioned, that they're actually starting to not let contracts or, to back off on work that they've started, because they don't know for sure that they'll have that money coming in. So we'll be dealing that with next week. I'd like to do a long-term solution. Probably we'll have a short-term solution as we really try and figure out how we strengthen the Highway Trust Fund for the future.
Well, what's the long-term solution? Obviously, I think it seems like we need one. So
yes, sir.
What is the long-term solution?
Well, the long-term solution is finding a source of money, for infrastructure in the country. And there's been a number of things bandied about, increasing the gas tax, which I'm not for, but things like repatriation. We have anywhere from $1 trillion to $2 trillion worth of money overseas. Corporations can't bring it back here because of the high tax rate. There's talk of lowering the tax rate where they'll have an incentive to do that. and then taking some of those taxes that will be received and putting those into infrastructure. So there's a lot of things being talked about. It's just a matter of us sitting down and deciding. Now, we hear a lot about gridlock in Congress and things. This is not a partisan thing at all. This is something that Republicans and Democrats, many of them believe that this is, you know, one of the things that the federal government should be spending money on is our infrastructure. And so, you know, there's a lot of good bipartisan discussion. It's just difficult. You know, right now the federal government or state governments, there's just not a lot of extra money to go around.
Well, we have been talking about the infrastructure problem for several years now and the need to work on our highways, to work on our bridges and dams and same things like that. They're, you know, starting to really show some signs of stress. And, you know, it's high time that we do come together and find some solutions.
We need to, for sure. You know, our interstate system is over 50 years old right now. And so you're right. This is something that needs to be addressed. The people that got it done in the last reauthorization was Senator Inhofe in Oklahoma, Senator Boxer from California. They don't agree on hardly anything, and yet they do agree on infrastructure. And so that's a good story. And so I do think that there's a lot of, you know, want to in getting this done. We'll probably do it short term, and then, as you say, really try and figure out what's the long-term solution for this. But we're going to need a new funding model. Not only are we struggling at the federal level, but the states also. Their highway trust funds, they have gas taxes too. They're down also, so it's really a double whammy.
We talked last month about the problems with the VA. You're on the Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs, and I understand the committee heard from one of the nominees for Secretary of Veterans Affairs this week, Robert McDonald, I believe.
Yes, sir. We did. We had a hearing. He performed very, very well. And in fact, yesterday, we actually voted him out of committee so that he can be voted on in the full Senate. And I believe we'll do that early next week, which is very important to get him in place. His credentials are excellent. He was did very, very well in the military academy, you know, performed admirably in the service, has had an excellent private sector career. He spent a lot of time in Northwest Arkansas in the sense that he was working for P&G and then also working with Walmart in that capacity. So I've had a number of people step forward and just talk about his reputation, talk about the fact that, you know, he's a very smart individual. His standards are very, very high. So I think he's got a good chance of going in and really giving the VA a different thought process, and you know, showing them there's tremendous problems there. The culture's broken, so lots of hard work, and we're going to be helping him any way that we can to make it such that our veterans get the care and things that were promised to them that, you know, we all agree that are owed and need to be done on a timely basis.
Well, another thing that we got coming up is you've got an agriculture tour coming up in the state that will be coming through Northeast Arkansas. Tell us about that.
Yeah, every year we try and get out and really just talk about agriculture. You know, a lot of people forget where their food comes from, and just try and highlight that at least 25% of the economy in Arkansas, one out of every six jobs is related to agriculture. So we'll be all over the state. We'll be in your part of the state, and I think we'll be visiting a honey farm, mm-hmm. which will be interesting, and then also visiting the Riceland Mill. But really just talking to a lot of different producers about the problems they're facing, implementing the new farm bill, making sure that that's going smoothly, trying to answer questions about that, trying to get feedback, you know, if there's things that we need to do, you know, to tweak. So we're really looking forward to that.
I wondered if you'd gotten any feedback yet on the new farm bill and how that's going.
It seems to be going real well right now. Things seem to be pretty positive. It's so important, you know, to have that. Unlike the highway situation that we just talked about, having a five-year farm bill so that farmers know the rules, can make decisions, then they can go forward with increasing hiring. They can go forward with buying equipment. We have the opposite problem with the highway bill, because it's all up in the air, and so it really grinds things to a halt. So this is. These things are very, very important to the economy and jobs.
You've recently gotten some disaster assistance through for some of our farmers that have been affected by the weather this year, flash flooding and other weather-related situations that have caused some problems.
Yes, and we were pleased to get that done. As you and I were talking about, this has just been a weird year in the sense of these, you know, just abnormal things that crop up and do lots of damage in a short period of time. And so we were able to get some help in that regard.
All right. Well, we're about out of time. I appreciate your time today, Senator.
Well, thank you so much, as always, for having me. And I look forward to perhaps seeing you in August.
August 11th through 15th for the Ag Tour. All right.
Yes, sir.
Thanks so much, sir.
Well, thank you again for having me.
Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.